And good morning. Welcome to Focus. This is our morning talk show. I'm David Inge. Glad to have you with us. Whether you are listening on WILL AM or maybe you're watching online, we're webcasting this hour of the show at our website. That's WILL.illinois.edu. And we are pleased to have this morning on the show another in a series of conversations that we're having with candidates who will be competing in next week's Illinois primary. We have been talking with candidates both for the State House and for the Congress. And our guest for this hour of the show is Robert Roman. He is one of two Republicans seeking their party spot on the ballot in the new 102nd district of the Illinois House. It includes, I hope I get this right, Shelby, Moultrie, Douglas counties, also parts of Macon, Vermilion, Edgar, and Champaign. So if you live in Tolono, Tuscola, Arcola, Sullivan, Shelbyville, Paris, you're in the new 102nd. His opponent in the primary is Representative Adam Brown. He represents currently the 101st district. He was on this program on February 13th, and that program is archived on our website. So if you'd like to listen or watch, you can do that. And we are here to take questions. I have a list of things I'll be asking about, but for people who are watching or listening, you can also call in with your questions. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. You can send an email if you like, and we'll take it. And that's will-talk@illinois.edu. Our guest, Bob Roman, he lives in Chrisman in Edgar County. He works as the Director of Utility Resources at the University of Illinois. Thanks very much for being here.
Thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Anything else in the way of personal details and biography you'd like people to know about you?
Well, gosh, where do you start? Basically, if we look back to where my career started, I'm proud to say that my career started in the United States Marine Corps as a generator mechanic. And actually, I thought I was going to go in to be a computer repair person. And when I showed up to go to boot camp, they told me, no, you're going to be a generator mechanic. And I said, but, and this major said, no buts about it. You're going to Paris Island tonight, and you're going to be a generator mechanic. And guess what? He was right. So actually, it worked out really well. Good Lord was looking out for me because it turned out to be a great career path for me after the Marine Corps. I went into the energy industry, started in a small college plant, and then I went on to the nuclear industry where I thought I was going to the major leagues. I thought I really made it this time, and I told my dad, be proud of me, Dad, I'm going to the big place now. So I showed up for work, and they handed me a broom. And that's how I started my commercial career in energy. So I wanted to do more with my life. And as an adult, I went back to college, got my undergraduate degree, got my graduate degree, worked my way up to first line supervisor, then a regional manager for projects throughout all of Northern Illinois, and eventually got a director's position and came over here to the University of Illinois, where I served as a chief engineer over at Abbott Power Plant for a couple years. Then took a staff position where I'm now Director of Resources for Utilities Management and also serve as our Vice President of Prairie Land Energy. So that's my career background, but really the proud part is my family, my lovely wife Dawn, and my daughter Rachel. We live down in Chrisman on a horse farm. We're the first generation farmers. I had to work and buy my farm, so... And we're very happy with the way things have turned out. I do have an adult son who's out on his own, got a job, paying taxes. I'm proud of him, too.
So what makes you want to run for the State House?
Well, I've been involved with a lot of volunteer activities, and I'm also an elected local official as a township supervisor in Edgar County. And as I continued to see the degradation of the state of Illinois, especially in the financial areas, I became more and more concerned and more involved. Well, we knew redistricting was going to come along. There were several people that I've been associated with that encouraged me to consider a position in the legislature. So as I considered that, I said, I'm not sure because, you know, I've got a job. I don't need a job. And they continued to encourage me to consider it. I finally said yes, I would, and that's what brought me here. But everybody's concerned about the state of Illinois. We don't need to put out statistics anymore. Everybody's read the statistics. We know there's problems. And we need some good, solid business background to get into the state legislature and make some real changes. We got to stop the nonsense. We're too close to catastrophic failure of the state's finances. We can see that in the business climate in Illinois, which is driven by the economic problems that we're seeing, not just as a state budget, but as they push more taxes onto the taxpayers. So it's time to get to work, and right. It's serious time.
Well, let's get on that, because, as you say, people know that we have serious problems, even with the tax increase that was passed last January. We have a serious backlog of unpaid bills. The governor has called for an across-the-board cut in most areas of government, but I think that there are some people who say, well, that's not enough. He's talked about closing some state facilities. So the central question is, if you have to cut spending, where do you do that? What is it the government's doing now that you would say, we're going to cut that, we can't afford it?
Well, I think there's a lot of opportunities out there, and I call them low-hanging fruit. And I've heard a lot of candidates out there talking about some of the simple fixes. Some of the simple fixes in Medicaid and link cards, state services, which again, low-hanging fruit. We should be doing that regardless. I think that's the easy stuff to get. We really need to start looking at some long-term resolutions to these issues. And there is no sacred cow out there. Mm-hmm. Everything needs to be looked at critically. And what I feel that we really need to do is we need to get to a performance-based budget, and we need to do a long-term budget. These one-year budgets are just insufficient. And anybody who's been in business knows that you can't run a major corporation on a one-year budget. How can you run a state government on a one-year budget? We need to get in there and look at everything on the expense side and justify that. First of all, let's pay those things that are required by the state constitution, which includes our pension debt and includes our contributions to the future pension liabilities. That it's in the constitution. Let's quit arguing about it. Let's take care of that. Now, let's next pay those issues that have subsidy from the federal government, and some of that would include Medicaid. After that, this is why we have representatives and senators in Springfield. Everything needs to be looked at, and everything needs to be justified so that it's going to bring back a return on the investment that the government's given it. That's the expense side, but on the revenue side, we have to do the same thing. If we have tax incentives out there that are not repaying us the investment that the taxpayers are giving to that tax incentive, they need to go away.
Well, going back to spending and where you think we could cut, and if you're saying, well, we need to make sure certain things are paid, we need to make sure we take care of the pension issues, we have Medicaid we have to take care of, and those are two big things I want to talk about in some more in detail.
Sure.
But that leaves an awful lot of the areas in which the state spends money, including public education, including prisons, including state parks, the list goes on and on. I mean, and some of those are really big chunks, and you can't just come along and say, okay, we're just going to close all the prisons and save them
no,
money spent on corrections.
Not.
So name me two or three big things that you could say, here's where we can say, where right now I can say we can save a big chunk of money.
Two or three big things, I believe, again, the low-hanging fruit that I talked about, and I don't concentrate a lot of time on that because to me it's common sense things,
yeah.
And there's billions of waste in the link card program, which could be resolved relatively easily. Also, capital projects that are out there, I think we need to take a real critical look at those too, understanding that there are some bond issues on that too, but surprisingly, a lot of these bond issues aren't repaid by revenues that are invested into these capital projects. The taxpayer ends up repaying that bond. So we need to look at these capital projects also. And I think there could be some deferment in some of those capital projects. We could go on. Like you said, there's so many things that it's hard to get your arms around how much is really out there. And it seems like every time we turn around, we start seeing some some ridiculous state expenditures that are going on out there.
Well, like what?
Well, even some of the salaries. I mean, I think we need to look at some of the salaries that are out there, some of them that are excessive. We hear about, even at the university where we're paying some of the top researchers top dollar, why aren't we looking at them as a private contractor instead of as an employee of the state of Illinois? That it brings benefits to both sides. One is it reduces our pension liability. Two, it could reduce our salary. And three, it allows that researcher a little bit more ability to participate in his field of choice. So there's one small issue that you could look at. I think some of the expenses that are out there in each department, they need to be looked at critically. I think Treasurer Rutherford has made some small changes that in his office alone by reducing the vehicle fleet, by reducing cell phone usage. And they seem like small apples. But now if you do this across every department, then I think we start, you know, nickels and dimes make dollars, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, again, that low-hanging fruit needs to be taken care of first. But to me, that's still the simple issues, and we really need to dig into the hard issues themselves.
Let me ask you just a question about the revenue side, because I think that there are some people who say, yes, while we need to cut spending, we also need to look for ways to increase revenue. Now, we did have this tax increase, which is supposed to expire. It's not going to be on the books forever unless the General Assembly makes it permanent. Do you think, and as I think some Republicans have said, if what they would really like to do is just get in there and abolish it, would you have voted for that tax increase?
Not have voted for the
tax
increase.
And do you think it should something be done to make it go away sooner?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The state government has gone forward and created all these debt issues. So when they start getting in trouble, they turn back to the taxpayer, the hardworking taxpayer, and say, we need more. And that's going to help our pension liability. Then as soon as it's enacted, the governor comes out with new spending. And we're not taking care of any of that backlog. Increasing taxes does not make for economic development. I don't know how many times we got to prove this. Mm-hmm. Increased taxes don't work. And all we're doing is we're sending the jobs and the companies away from Illinois. The way that you increase revenue is by getting more taxpayers. How do you get more taxpayers? And that's pretty simple. You bring more companies and more jobs into Illinois. So we're going backwards. We need to repeal that tax hike, and we need to get back to the basis of bringing Illinois back to the industrial powerhouse that it once was not that long ago.
So what kind of power do you think that the legislature has to bring jobs to the state of Illinois?
Their taxing policies is, of course, one of the top issues that they have the power to do. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I'm concerned about any other power that they may have to bring jobs to Illinois. I'm a firm believer that we ought to let business bring these jobs to Illinois. And if we can get government out of the way and let business do what they do best, and that's make money, they're going to want to come to Illinois. So we have to have a government structure and regulations and tax laws that are going to encourage those companies to come to Illinois. Work comp's another thing that chases them away. Living over in Chrisman, we're real close to the Indiana border. And we literally see where a small business can just move 5 or 6 miles. And Governor Daniels over there is happy to have them. And they end up making more money with less regulation. We need to bring Illinois back to that. So legislators can remove all of these anti-business rules and help them come back. But I do believe what I would like to do when elected to the position is encourage a statewide economic development council. And that would include government, but it would also include education. It would include transportation, it would include capital investors, and it would include labor. But the trick of this is, as a state representative, I would encourage this and help arrange it, but I don't want Springfield to run it. I think we ought to have private industry be involved in this. We have economic development councils throughout the state of Illinois that are regional, but we're not looking at the state of Illinois as a whole and selling the positive things that we have in each region, such as Central Illinois has lower real estate costs, lower property taxes, and we have a fantastic, talented workforce out there that want real jobs. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we should get these people together and start working toward a common goal.
We have several callers here, and we'd like to invite people in, whether you're listening on WILL or you're watching. We're on the website this morning. We're webcasting at WILL.illinois.edu. The guest is Robert Roman. He is one of two Republicans seeking their party spot on the ballot in the new 102nd District of the Illinois House. We've had a number of candidates in on the program in the past couple of weeks. His opponent in the primary, Adam Brown, was here on February 13th. That's on our website. You want to watch that, listen to that, you certainly can. We have several people here. We'll try to get in as many as we can. We hope that people will help us out by being brief so we can get in as many callers as possible. We'll start in with somebody in Spring Bay, line number 4, our toll-free line. Hello.
Good morning.
Thanks yes.
for taking my call. Would
mm-hmm.
you introduce and support a bill that if the legislature does not pass a budget by the 1st of June that you incur a penalty? It seems to me that the first responsibility of a legislature is to determine how public funds are going to be spent, and this legislature hasn't been doing a very good job of it. Beyond that, I hear low-hanging fruit, and I hear your budget remedy is to not pay researchers at the University of Illinois and link cards. I don't think that's much of a prescription. I don't hear any specifics from you. I think you better raise your game a little bit if you want to get my vote. Thank you. I'll listen off the air.
All right. Thank you.
Well, I certainly appreciate the honesty in that. I guess I'd have the one question is who would incur the penalty if not passing a budget? And maybe it's safe to assume that the legislators themselves would be penalized for this. So I believe that's part of the job. When you take a job, you're supposed to do those core responsibilities. And if you don't do them, there could be some penalty involved. I think I would entertain the thought, but of course we'd have to read the legislation to see how it was worded. That might not be the best answer you're looking for, but I guess I'm a little unclear on the question. As far as not paying the researchers, if that was communicated, that isn't exactly what I was trying to communicate. What I was trying to communicate was that maybe we could let some of those top earning researchers have a little bit more freedom outside of the state government so that they could not only further their career, but they could also further their field of research and not be as tied to the state, whereas the state is going to see some cost savings also. Here's the fact. We're broke. Illinois is broke, and we need to start looking at some radical changes in how to do things. Not everybody's going to agree with everything. I realize that. But we have to go outside of the box and see what type of issues we can resolve.
Well, that's forgive me for jumping in, but I think that's exactly what the caller is wanting to know. When you say we have to have some radical changes, well, what do you mean by that?
Well, the radical changes that I'm proposing is to change this whole budget process. That's a lot to swallow. I understand that. And I understand it's going to be hard for a new rep to go in there and day one say, okay, let's change this whole budget process. But if anything, let's get this communication out there to everybody that's in Springfield that the way we're doing it doesn't work. Now, I have a plan to put together how I feel that it would be better to plan our budget. And that would include this performance-based budget where the taxpayer is getting return on the investment. If, you know, we could go through line item by line item of the budget, but really, like I said, there is no sacred cow out there. Everything has to be looked at, and everything has to be defended for the groups that want to see government assistance. Being from Central Illinois, of course, I'm a big proponent of agriculture. I'm going to argue that the agricultural sector of Illinois is critical. and that we need to maintain our presence in state government and have the financing that we have. But we have to reestablish this. And I don't bring notes with me because I want to talk from my heart, but I know I've read many times in many places, and I know everybody who's listening has too. Some of these silly programs that come out that just get written off, and we're not even looking at them. Everything needs to be critical. It's time to get down to brass tacks and rebuild a budget just like we would in a business that was about to go bankrupt.
Let's take another caller. We'll come here to some local folks. Champagne is up next, line number one. Hello.
Yeah, first I'd like to say no notes, no facts. So it would be nice if you came prepared. The second thing I'd like to ask is, and we'll just take agriculture as an example, because you just talked about agriculture. Where are the good jobs coming from? With NAFTA in place and with you putting more and more responsibility in business and you decreasing taxes on the wealthy and on corporations, the good jobs are going to be gone. They're almost all gone now. What's your answer to that?
So what exactly is your question?
My question is, how are you going to increase well-paying, good jobs with security in Illinois? You're going to underfund pension plans. You're going to cut pensions. You're going to not tax the wealthy. You're going to lower taxes on the middle class. And you're going to put more and more power into the hands of corporate entities who are going to put those jobs overseas. What's going to be left here except Walmart jobs? What's left in agriculture? What kind of good jobs are you thinking about for growth in agriculture? I mean jobs that pay maybe $40,000, which is a little above poverty. Where are the good jobs coming from?
Illinois used to be a very central location for manufacturing positions, and a lot of
those are now gone.
Yes, and why can't we bring them back?
You're not going to bring them back the way you're talking about.
Well,
more power into the hands of the corporations. They will go to Vietnam or wherever they're going now. And every time a politician says, I want to create jobs by cutting taxes, that what that means is there are going to be more and more and more terrible facilities for U.S. citizens, support for U.S. citizens, and the jobs are going to continue to bleed away from us where people make very much less money than us.
I don't believe that increasing taxes is going to bring any jobs here.
But I believe that that is a belief. I believe that's an article of faith with you. You don't have notes. You don't know what you're talking about. I'll hang up.
Well, I don't bring notes because I've researched this, and everybody's tired of hearing all the statistics. If we want to sit here and just read statistics, I think we can do that in a better form. I bring ideas. And I believe that bringing business to the table and letting them show how we can do economic development better in Illinois is the right way to do this. I don't believe that government has been instrumental at all in bringing business to Illinois. I think if we look at the history, government has done nothing but push it away. So I don't understand the comment of giving corporations more power. I'm just giving them the opportunity to do what they do best, and that's to grow business. And we have to, in government, encourage that by the right taxing policies, by the right workers' comp program, and by the right infrastructure that's going to be able to support these businesses along the way.
Right. Let's go to another caller here. This is somebody in Urbana in line number two. Hello.
Hello. You seem to have a masterful control of cliche and generality. Can you be so specific about anything? So far, you haven't been. What are these wasteful, silly programs that are being conducted by, I presume, the university in regard to agriculture? Name one.
I never replied to the university having a wasteful agriculture program.
Well then the state government in general. You said there were such wasteful programs. Silly programs.
Yes.
Name one.
The link card without a picture.
What?
The link card without a picture on it.
That is a program?
The link card is a program, yes, and it's very badly abused, too.
From what I've seen is it reduced fraud from about 4% to 1%. Now, that doesn't seem wasteful.
The link card reduced fraud?
That's right.
Then why do we still have billions of waste in the link card system?
Well, maybe we don't.
And we see receipts coming in from California and Hawaii for Illinois taxpayer money to feed people that are not in Illinois.
Well, perhaps you're making this up. I don't know.
I believe that those were found in a report by a local news station that was brought to Springfield.
I don't know where we're going with this, but we can't have extended radio silence. Let me jump in here because we're just about at the point where we're going to have to take a break. Your opponent also brought up the question of the link card, and I guess I was a little bit mystified by why that would be an issue for the Illinois legislature. That is the card that is now people use in lieu of food stamps, what they used to use food stamps. So you go to the grocery store, you use your link card. Isn't that federal money that pays for that program?
It's subsidized by federal money. Yes, it's managed by the state of Illinois.
But if that's federal money, how is that going to save big money in the state budget? I mean, there may indeed be fraud. I don't know. But how much fraud is there, and how much money is that going to save the state of Illinois?
Well, we really don't know how deep this goes, so I don't know if you can quantify how much it's going to save. It's been estimated at millions, and I've even heard somebody say a billion, but I find that one hard to believe. But I think that there's millions of waste and fraud in that program.
Well, given the budget problem that we have, I mean, maybe that's great if you can save $1 million, but that's not going to take care of your problem.
No. That's, like I said, that's just one piece of a lot of low-hanging fruit that's out there. And maybe I should have brought some notes so that I could list these and we could go step by step. Right.
We're going to take a break here, a very short break. We'll talk some more in a moment. This is Focus.
On the next Fresh Air, drones over America. New legislation recently signed into law by President Obama opens up U.S. airspace to a new era of remote information gathering. John Villasenor tells us what drones can see on Earth. He's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and a professor of electrical engineering at UCLA. Join us.
This afternoon at 1 and this evening at 7 on AM 580.
WILL programs are made possible by Women's Health Practice and Dr. Suzanne Troopin, offering obstetrics, gynecology, and fertility services on Neal Street in Champaign. Women's Health Practice is a Health Alliance medical plan provider and is accepting new patients. More information is available at womenshealthpractice.com.
This is Focus, our morning talk show. I'm David Inge. Glad to have you with us on WILL Radio. Maybe you're watching through our website. We are webcasting this morning at will.illinois.edu. We're here weekday mornings 10 until noon. We have 10 different topics every week. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, Sandy Mason will be here. She's an extension educator in horticulture with U of I, and once a month is on the program. We talk about things that grow in the home landscape. So if you need some gardening advice, that's the time to call in. Also tomorrow, we'll talk in the second hour about women in science with Lisa Klein. She is a professor of materials science and engineering at Rutgers University. And then I'll give you one more. Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock, our monthly show on nutrition. Registered dietitian Susan Kundrat will be here. Celeste Quinn is the host, and that's the opportunity to ask questions about food and nutrition. That's something we do on the program every month. We are here weekday mornings from 10 until noon, 10 different topics for you every week. We welcome your questions, comments. You can find us on Twitter at Will Public Media and also on Facebook. In this hour of focus, we're talking with Robert Roman. He is one of two Republicans seeking their party's spot on the ballot in the new 102nd District of the Illinois House. He'll be involved in the primary next week. We have been talking with candidates for both the State House and the Congress. His opponent is a State Representative Adam Brown. He was on the show on February 13th. That's on our website if you want to go back and hear it. And questions are welcome here. 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. I want to ask specifically about pension, because this is one of the big problems that the legislature will be confronting. I am assuming that you are in the state university retirement system.
Yes, I am.
And so am I. Okay, so just to put that on the record, we're talking about a system that we are actually part of. Okay. So we have the most underfunded pension system in the nation, and there has been a lot of talk in Springfield about making changes in the system. Would you change it? In what way would you change it?
Well, just recently they have already changed the pension system for anybody who was hired after January 1st, right. 2011, I do believe it was. Now they're talking about changing the pension system for the people who are currently in the system, and I don't support that. And here's why. There's a lot of good working people, not just at the university, but throughout the state. There's a lot of good working people that work for the state of Illinois. They took this position with the understanding of the benefits that they would receive. And one of those benefits, of course, is your pension. Now, because the state has not funded the pension system, they want those people who have worked hard all their life to pay the bill for them. And it's just not right. One, it's in the Constitution that we're obligated to pay it. And two, you just don't change things for people halfway or all the way into their career. So I would not change the pension system for the people who are already in the pension system. Mm-hmm. Now, the caveat to that is I am on the pension plan that provides the contribution. I'm defined contribution, not defined benefit.
Oh,
so
okay.
I just want that known, too, because it has a different impact on what pension system you're in.
Well, what about now what's people are proposing that, for say, like going forward, for people who would be coming into the system, that at least the last thing that I heard was this proposal that people would be given a choice. So if they want to maintain their benefits, they're going to have to pay more. If they are willing to accept a lower benefit, then they will pay less. Or there would be the option of people to essentially go into what it would amount to be a 401k.
Right, the defined contribution.
The defined contribution. And that people then would have that. There'll be this three-tiered system. They'll have that choice. Or maybe something that's some kind of a hybrid. I mean, what do you think the system should look like, not for people like us that are already in it, but for the people that next year, 2 years from now, 10 years from now, are going to be coming into the system?
I believe some of the options that they've given them are good options, and I think it reflects what business is doing with pension systems to some degree. I believe in the defined contribution, where people have ownership of their own funds and they can manage their own retirement. We understand that things have changed over the past 20, 30 years, the way pensions work. And I believe the state has to change with them, too. They have to be competitive in the job market, but they also have to be responsible to the taxpayer. So those systems that you have just described, I think, are adequate, and we need to keep our finger on the pulse of the pension industry. I mean, things may change again, where we need to turn around and be competitive to bring talent into the university, and also be able to make those payments that we're required to.
Right now, the state of Illinois does not tax the benefit. Some people have suggested, well, that might be something that would have to happen. And, in fact, I have an email question from someone who wants to know, well, what is your position on taxing pensions?
On taxing pensions? I think I would have to consider it, unfortunately. I'd love to say don't do it, but, again, I've said it before, is that we can't forget about anything right now. We have to take a critical look at everything. And as much as I'd love to leave that be, I think we really need to look at it and see what the other states are doing and see if it's fair to our annuitants.
Okay. We have a caller in Decatur. Line four. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
I voted for Adam Brown the last time, and I'm from the far western side of the... Hi, am I on the air?
Yes, yes, go ahead, yes.
Okay. I voted for Adam Brown the last time around because, like, obviously, like a lot of people, I thought it was time for change, and I voted for the new kid on the block, but I haven't seen anything. I heard a lot of campaign promises that got me excited. So I know campaign promises can be great, but what are you going to do that Adam Brown said he was going to do and hasn't done?
Well, quite frankly, I didn't base my campaign on Adam Brown's campaign. I've seen some of the literature, but really, in all fairness to Adam Brown, he needs to be able to answer those questions himself. I believe, and some of my positions include strong physical conservatism, reworking the budget. I believe in local government. I believe that we should take some of Springfield back to the local government, where you can reach out and talk to the people who govern your area. Those are some of the basis. I really can't answer for Adam Brown. He would have to respond to those questions himself.
Did you call it? Do you want to ask something specific?
No, I just want to know. I'm frustrated because from his opponent, I have heard a lot of statistics, and I've even gone to an event where they were both. And I know a caller earlier was disappointed because we weren't hearing facts and information. And when I went to that debate, I heard a lot of statistics about how bad the state of Illinois is from Adam Brown. And I know that, so I want to know some facts about what you can do as opposed to statistics for how bad we are. And you've answered some of those. But tell me a little more about what your business growth plans are. I hear get off of regulation, but what else can you tell me?
Well, at the risk of repeating, the statewide economic development, I feel, is the way the state needs to go in the future. We need to look at the state as a whole. We need to allow business to run business and attract good jobs. I know a previous caller objected to that, but if we in government make it more attractive for businesses to locate in Illinois, I believe that those jobs will come with them. And I think that's proven by the state of Indiana. They've already started their statewide economic development initiatives, and they've been very successful in bringing good jobs to the state of Indiana. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does. As an employed person, that just can't happen fast enough. So good luck.
All right. Well, we have a couple of other people. Let me ask you this question. You know, if it were you to be elected, you would be a newcomer. And if nothing changes, you would be in the minority in the House.
Right.
How does somebody who is a new member of the General Assembly in the minority party have any influence?
Influence comes with being able to talk with people, develop relationships. You have to work together. You know, we all talk Republican, Democrat during this election process, but I think everybody expects, once the election's over, that you go to Springfield and you get the job done. They don't care if you got an R or a D. They want you to get the job done. And I'm confident through my business experience and my volunteer organizations that I've worked in local government, that's something I bring to the table, is the ability to negotiate with people and find common ground.
Yeah. I have another caller, a couple of other calls I want to get to. There's one major area here I do want to have you talk about, and that's Medicaid, which is another of those things that it's a big issue. There's a lot of money in it, and people have said, if we don't do something about the program, we're going to have a huge crisis.
Certainly.
And when people look at this, they say, well, okay, if you're going to cut spending in the program, you can do three things. You can change the rules so fewer people are eligible. You can cut your reimbursements to doctors and hospitals. you can cut back on the services that are provided because there are some things that the state provides that other states don't, and the government doesn't, federal government doesn't require you to do. You could do one or two or all three of those things. Which of those things would you do?
Again, I believe they all need to be looked at. I'm not sure that those will solve the problem. I feel that we need to start looking at some of the HMO PPO type options south of I-80. They already use them up in the Chicago area, and I'm not sure, I don't know why we're not using them down here. I think we can save a lot of money that way. Another way is a health savings account where we can put some money into each person's account and have them be more more responsible for their spending themselves and incentivize them to personally take some ownership in their health care. Again, a lot of this is that low-hanging fruit I keep talking about, but there's options that are commonplace throughout the community that a lot of companies are using, a lot of small employers are using that the state isn't looking at. I think we need to consider some of those out-of-the-box options and consider how much cost savings. I think with the HMO PPO options, I think we could that could bring about some significant savings and still provide people on that program excellent care.
Mm-hmm. Well, but if you, I mean, that's something you could certainly work toward.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to do something immediate to try to reduce costs, would you do one or any of those other things?
I do believe we need to look at the services that are offered and justify them to ensure that that's the appropriate type of service that should be allowed under the program.
Mm-hmm.
I am hesitant on the reimbursement rates. From my understanding, they're somewhat lower than the normal insurance rate that a doctor would have, but I need to do a little bit more research. Again, that one I don't have the facts on. I'm not in the medical industry. I don't know. So I'm a little bit hesitant on that. And what was your third one that you mentioned?
It was changing the eligibility rules.
I do believe that. That absolutely has to be looked into. But I understand that the federal system is reluctant to allow the state government to look at those eligibility rules. So there's a big hurdle we have to get over.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we have some other callers. Let's talk with somebody in Tuscola. They're next, line number one. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. I have a couple questions. I came into the show late, so I hope I'm not asking you to repeat something. But how do you feel about the FOID card? Do you think it should be eliminated? And also, what are your feelings on the right to carry? And my other question is, do you think farm subsidies to farmers should be cut or not give them as much as we have been? Those are my questions.
Okay.
FOID card, eliminate it. We're the only state that even has that. There's other measures in place where we can do criminal background checks on people if necessary.
This is the, for people who don't know, this is the firearm owner's ID card. This is the card that you have to have before you can go out and purchase a gun.
That's correct.
That's right. Okay.
In regards to concealed carry, I support concealed carry, and I would carry that legislation if offered to in the House. I believe it's a Second Amendment rights. And that's all I need to say. I know that could get into a two-hour debate right there. But that's my belief. Second Amendment right, so I am for concealed carry. The farm subsidies, I understand why some of the farm subsidies are there, and I believe a lot of those are also federally based too. So, again, to be fair, yes, I'm in an agricultural district, and my job would be to defend agriculture, but to be fair, we need to look at everything and ensure that it's the appropriate thing for the state of Illinois.
We have about 5-6 minutes left in this part of Focus. If you'd like to call in and talk with our guest, Bob Roman, he's one of two Republicans who are competing in the March primary next week to take their party spot on the ballot in the new 102nd district in the Illinois House. So if you have questions, you can call us 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. What do you think about the legislative scholarships?
Get rid of them.
All right, that's clear enough.
There's two things here. Uh-huh. We're broke. Illinois is broke. Second thing is the system has been abused, and it can't be policed appropriately. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to get rid of them. And legislators should have other jobs anyhow, so let's just get rid of the whole program.
All right. Well, what do you think about the tuition waiver? Now, there is a member of the General Assembly who's talking about the break on tuition that people get for their if they're U of I employees, for their children, they get a discount on tuition. And there is a member of the General Assembly who would like to eliminate that completely as a benefit for university employees. What do you think about that?
Well, again, I think it has to be looked at. As a university employee, that is a nice benefit to have. But here are the facts. We're broke. Mm-hmm. We need to look at everything. And that's absolutely an option that we might have to look at in getting rid of that that tuition waiver.
The governor has said that, you know, he's talked about to deal with the budget situation and across-the-board cut in almost all activities of government. One of the things, though, that he has exempted is education and has called for a tiny, tiny increase in the money going to schools. Would you favor anything significant in changes of in policy toward education, toward public schools?
Without good education, you will never have economic development. Hmm. You need to have a workforce that's talented, and we need to do that in our school system. That's where it's always come from. The schools need to have the financing that they've been promised. Here's the big problem is that the state says we're going to give you X amount of dollars, and then they don't deliver. We elect good people to school boards and local governments that can budget too. So tell them what you're going to give them, give it to them, let the school board decide what needs to be done, and have Springfield get out of local politics.
So what the governor has said he'd like to see the schools get a 0.5% increase in funding. Is that enough?
I don't know. Quite frankly, I'd have to see that what that 0.5% is. I know the school districts are hurting. They're all hurting. And on that side, you'd look at the local school districts and say, absolutely. That's not enough money. We need to have more money for our school districts. Again, we're broke, though. Mm-hmm. Now, right now, everybody is hurting. Now, for long term, I would say that needs to be increased so that we can maintain a good school system in the state of Illinois.
We'll try to get a couple calls here in the time that remains, and next talk with somebody in Champaign. Line one. Hello.
I wanted to bring up something that a lot of people don't know about. I know my daughter who lives in the Chicago area didn't realize that when university people pay the same amount of money that private people pay for Social Security. They pay into what they thought was a Social Security fund, and that is what is being underfunded now. And I think a lot of people don't realize that the university people don't pay into a Social Security fund, they pay into a university fund, and that's what's being underfunded.
Yes, you're correct.
And a lot of people in Illinois do not understand that. We didn't pay Social Security. We paid into this so-called pension fund that everybody thinks we're getting plus Social Security.
Right. And that's a good point to make, that university employees don't pay Social Security. They're under what they call SERS, State University Retirement System. And they pay that much into the SERS system so that they have a pension benefit when they retire in lieu of Social Security.
All right. Well, I appreciate the comment of the call. Let's try to get one more. We'll go to Edgar, somebody in Edgar County. This is line number three. Hello.
Hi there. Yes, I heard a caller earlier calling for more statistics and more facts and numbers. But personally, I've found that a lot of politicians hide behind mind-numbing statistics and to drone on and on about that until they lose the train of thought, just like I did. And I'd like to congratulate the candidate for not trying to hide behind a bunch of numbers and statistics to that end.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. We're at the point where you have maybe about a minute and a half or so left. Is there anything that I have not asked, callers have not asked, that you'd really like to have a chance to talk about?
Well, what I want to talk about is what's important to the people, because that's what this job is representing the people of this district.
Well, let me ask you one other thing real quick, that, because this may be sort of moot by the time that you get there, if you get there. But the House has apparently passed a ban on cell phone use while driving, and it remains to be seen whether the Senate will pass it or not. Would you have voted for that if you were in the House?
So they got to tell us when to use a cell phone and when not to.
Well, I guess they think that it's you'd be safer if you weren't talking on the phone while you're driving.
Well, you know what? I think people are smart enough to understand when to use a cell phone and when not to. What is a piece of legislation like that going to do? Is it going to stop people from – it might stop a few, but they're still going to do what they want to do. To me, it seems like senseless legislation, and Representative Rose used it on the floor one time, calling it a nanny state. We don't need to babysit the people in the state of Illinois. They're smart people.
What about expansion of gambling? There are some towns, Chicago would like to have a casino, Danville would like to have a casino. Some people think that maybe will bring some more revenue into the state. Do you think that'd be a good idea?
I would support the gambling bill with one caveat. The bill has to have the revenues from the Chicago casino repay the bonds that are going to be used to build it. That's, I believe, missing out of that legislation when I perused it really quickly. Mm-hmm. Danville is very close to this district. They want the jobs over there. Gambling will not solve the budget problems in Illinois, and if people are thinking that gambling is going to do that, they're wrong. You can't look at it as an end-all for budget issues in Illinois.
Okay. Well, I guess at about that point, we'll have to finish up with our thanks to our guest, Robert Roman. He is one of two Republicans seeking their party spot on the ballot in the new 102nd District of the Illinois House. His opponent in next week's primary will be Representative Adam Brown. He was on this program on February 13th, and that is there on our website. So if you want to go back and listen to that or watch that, you can do it. And this will be also archived on our website. If you want to go back to it and take another look, you can do that. And thank you very much.
Thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate the time.
All right.